This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, enable us to do what is necessary so that we might then do what is possible. And in so doing, we will soon find that in you, we do that which is impossible. Amen. Well, I'm sure glad that this liturgical year is the year of the evangelist Luke, and not the other guy who we've heard too many times mentioned by name in the past few days. Prayer that I quoted is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. To do that which is necessary and then that which is possible, and before you know it, you are doing the impossible. We, of course, have done this past week what was necessary, and we were very blessed in the wobble that kept the hurricane away from us. Certainly, it's important that we pray, but it's important that we not confuse the fact that perhaps our prayers were answered, but the wrong conclusion would be then that the people of North Florida didn't pray well enough. Or perhaps that 10 years ago, during Francis, Jean, and Wilma, we didn't pray well enough. God doesn't work that way. What God does is want us to be aware that God is with us, whether there are storms in our life, physically or metaphorically, or blessings in our life, physically or metaphorically. You're aware that I just spent almost 2 weeks in this intensive course in C.S. Lewis. Great author, great speaker, great theologian and apologist for the church. And I'd read his books, but never really understood his life. What a life. He was born to parents in Belfast, North Ireland. They soon moved to the United Kingdom. He absolutely adored his mother. And when he was a young boy, his mother contracted terminal cancer. And he writes that he got down on his knees and prayed that God would give her a miraculous cure. But when C.S. Lewis was 12, his mother died. Devastating to him. He doubted the existence of God as a result. And soon thereafter, his father, who was having a difficult time dealing with the grief and taking care of children, ships them off to boarding school, which only made matters worse for C.S. Lewis. And as we know, he grows up to be this great academic and writes all these wonderful books, from the Chronicles of Narnia to great theological works, to science fiction, and along the way becomes this incredible lecturer, a don, as they call it, in Oxford. And there is this new chair that everyone thought for sure he was the most qualified, he would be the one, but some people have it in for him, and he does not get the position. He ends up in Cambridge. He ends up living out the rest of his years in Cambridge. And after all of those things have happened to him, he meets an American woman by the name of Joy. And if you've ever seen the movie Shadowlands, late in life, he finally finds love. He and Joy get married, but shortly after they're married, She gets a terminal illness. And after only 4 years of marriage, Joy dies. Now, with a life having lived with that many pits and valleys, he reflects on his experience of pain, and he writes these words in his book, The Problem of Pain. We can rest contentedly in our sins and in our stupidities, and everyone who has watched gluttons shoveling down the most exquisite foods as if they do not know what they were eating will admit that we can ignore even pleasure. But pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. God speaks to us in our consciences. But God shouts to us in our pains. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. A megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Wake up, people. God is speaking to you. Whether it is in the pains that we experience, or it is in our compassion for the pains of others, he has some great insight to the fact that God doesn't cause pain. God does not want us to suffer. But at times, it is the only way that God can get our attention so that we'll come to a greater realization that he just wants to wrap his loving arms around us, whether we are experiencing blessings, pains, deaths, difficulties, gains, or losses. God wants to be there with us. And all we have to do is do what God tells us to do. And that, my friends, is what the message is in these readings today. Naaman the Syrian. This is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. A great military leader. He's got thousands of people under his command. He's got a huge head. He is full of pride. And now he's contracted this god-awful disease of leprosy. He's going to be ostracized. He's going to have to be away from people. And so you would think somebody dealing with that, having gone through and going through what he's going through, would at least have an ounce of humility? But no. What does he do? He goes over to the prophet Elisha's house, not by himself. He takes a whole parade, the chariots and the charioteers, and he sends a messenger up to Elisha's house. Because why? He expects Elisha to come out and put on this huge show. Ta-da! The great Naaman the Syrian is back. I'm healed. As if he did it himself. And he's even more upset because he doesn't want to send him to his own rivers in Syria because there would be more of his groupies there. No, he sends him to the dirty Jordan River. And you would think, somebody tells you this is what God wants you to do, and it's that simple? Go down to the Jordan and dive in 7 times? Do a couple cannonballs and you'll be healed? And he doesn't want to do it. He ends up doing it, and we know what happens. He is healed. We do what God does. And not all the time does a cure happen, but we are assured of healing doing what God tells us to do. The gospel today screams out at us what God is calling us to do. 10 lepers. One comes back. What happens with the other 9? You know, people have written all sorts of fictional accounts of stories of the other 9 and what the reasons were, why they didn't come back. And I've got a little capsule summary of everything that I've thought of and have found that's out there. But I think there's some good thought in there for us. First one didn't come back because I have so much to do. I am so stressed. After all, now that I'm healed, I have to find a job, a place to live. Got to get a new girlfriend. We can have the excuse for not expressing our gratitude to God and to others because I'm too busy. 2, I don't have to be grateful for what I deserve. I've suffered enough already. God, you put all this before me that I had to endure. And now you want me to come back and do more work and give you thanks for it? We can be so self-righteous sometimes. 3, I was so excited about how my face looked now that I had to go out and take some selfies and post them on Facebook and Instagram and see how many likes I could get. Never crossed my mind to go back to Jesus. We get like that. Whether it's celebrating our good looks or our good fortunes, we're too caught up in the blessings that we forget the source of them. 4, I did it myself. Jesus didn't do anything. This is the American excuse. I am as responsible for this healing as much as anybody. We think it's all about us sometimes. 5, I actually enjoyed being sick. I had a pretty good pity party going on and was getting lots of attention. And now that's over. Why should I give thanks for that going away? We can be that way. 6, I don't believe I was cured. I keep checking for the symptoms to show back up. I can't enjoy the healing and be happy because I just don't trust that this is for real. How often does our trust and our lack thereof keep us from being grateful? 7, it takes a lot of vulnerability to say thank you. It would be like admitting out loud that I couldn't do this myself. After all, this guy's going to have power over me if I admit that he helped me. And besides, why would I need to say it out loud? To be grateful, yes, involves vulnerability. 8, I was ashamed to be sick in the first place. I was embarrassed and ashamed. And to go back and say thanks, I'm going to have to relive the whole thing and talk about it again, and I don't want to go there. This is one I think that we all need to take to heart. Because underneath that is a belief that the reason I have pain or suffering or sickness is because God is punishing me for something I did or did not do. And God does not work that way. Our God stands next to us, wanting to get our attention because God wants to do nothing but to wrap God's loving arms around us. 9, I'm just too bitter and resentful. I got this disease and everybody treated me like garbage. I didn't get the response I wanted from the church, and I didn't get better as soon as I thought I should, and so I am just going to live out my life alone. All nine of those reasons, all nine, could be negated by one thing: doing what God tells us to do. To just be grateful. As John Claypool says, every next breath we take is a windfall. To be grateful for every single thing and person we have. It's that gratitude that every Thanksgiving morning we talk about Martin Rinkert, that Lutheran pastor who during the plague was burying 50 people a day, including his own family. And at the end of that, he writes those beautiful words to the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." It's the same as that pastor who loses his wife and his kids, drowned on a ship that goes down. And what does he do but write the words to that hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." It's a C.S. Lewis who goes through so many losses and can write that pain is nothing but God's megaphone trying to get attention so God can wrap God's loving arms around us. Gratitude's what would have made them all whole. It's what will make us whole. Why did the one who come back come back? Luke gives us the answer. He was a Samaritan, a foreigner. He was the one who had experienced more pain than anyone, being ostracized and discriminated against because everybody hated the Samaritans. Maybe it's just because he got in touch with that pain, that he heard God speaking through the megaphone. And because of that, he was the most grateful person ever. Through the storms of our life, through the blessings of our life, through the prayer, service, and evangelism in our ministries in our life, may we start and end by doing what God tells us to do. Be grateful. Amen.